Colleagues, do we need to take a quick break or go right into the next? The next items are second readings.
I'm good.
Keep going. Very good. All right. Carla, could you please read items number 613 and 614 together?
613, add evaluation of applicants for dwelling units to include renter protections in the form of screening criteria regulations. And 614, add security deposits, prepaid rent to include renter protections in the form of security deposit regulations.
Colleagues, both of these are second readings. They've already, there have already been presentations on both of these ordinances. There's already been substantial public testimony and amendments to these ordinances. Is there any further discussion before we call the roll first on item number 613?
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. No further discussion. I just want to read Commissioner Hardesty's statement on FAIR into the record before we take the vote.
Commissioner Udaly, go for it.
Thank you. Once again, this is Commissioner Hardesty. While I'm unable to be at council to cast my vote, I wanted to provide comments highlighting my support for both FAIR ordinances being voted on today by City Council. As the city of Portland changes more and more, people are finding it challenging to rent housing. This problem is particularly felt by immigrants, people with criminal backgrounds, people with limited income, and communities of color. I applaud the hard work and deliberative process Commissioner Udaly and her staff went through in preparing these proposals. While no one thing will solve the housing challenges everyday Portlanders face, these proposals are an important step forward to ensuring access to housing in the city is a goal that can be achieved by anyone. The protections provided to rental applicants and the limitations on screening fees and security deposit deductions will make renting more just and fair. That being said, I appreciate the concerns many small and mid-sized landlords have. Having to change how you've conducted business for years can be a challenge. I also recognize that many landlords do not discriminate in their business practices. But the fact remains that many do, and many Portlanders are impacted by these practices on a regular basis. These ordinances will provide protection from these discriminatory practices. I am happy that the city will be working to educate landlords on the new requirements, and I'm thankful for all the input I have received from residents, landlords, and community groups on this important subject. If I were present, this would be the place where I would emphatically vote aye.
Very good. Thank you. Any further discussion? Carla, could you please call the roll on item number 613?
Fish.
Well, I'd like to begin by thanking my colleague, Commissioner Chloe Udaly, and her Director of Policy, Jamie Duhamel, for bringing this policy forward. In particular, I'd like to thank them for taking the time to get it right. Sometimes the hardest thing to do with big and meaningful policies like this is to wait, but the additional time has given the community and the council the opportunity to weigh in, to make suggestions, and to improve this policy. I'd like to thank many of our key community stakeholders for the hundreds of hours they volunteered to helping us strengthen this policy. Special thanks to Katrina Holland at the Community Alliance of Tenants, Alan Lazo with the Fair Housing Council of Oregon, Hannah Holloway with the Urban League, as well as the folks from Legal Aid, the Oregon Law Center, the Coalition of Communities of Color, SEIU Local 49, members of Portland for Everyone, the New Portlanders Policy Commission, dozens of housing providers, elected officials, and the hundreds of community members who came out to testify over the past few months. In my 10 years on council, I have been focused on removing barriers in the workplace, in housing, and in our economy. From helping individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities find meaningful work at the city, to the creation of our first Fair Housing Action Plan, to banning the box, removing the question of criminal history on job applications, to creating Harper's Playground, the most inclusive and accessible playground in Portland, if not the nation, to removing gender designations and creating all-user restrooms across the city. They all reflect a simple truth, that when you remove arbitrary barriers, everybody wins. This proposal has a lot of individual components that I deeply support. Security deposit reforms, standardized applications for tenants, tools for more fully implementing and supporting the Fair Housing Act, education for landlords and tenants, clear rules for the entire community to abide by. Now, we continue to hear concerns from critics. Some say they need more time, others that these regulations may be burdensome, and that new regulations will drive up the cost of housing or decrease the supply. I appreciate that Commissioner Udaly has delayed the rollout until next year. This will give us time to do an intensive education campaign to landlords and tenants. And that's why I also proposed an amendment to require annual audits. And as we draft regulations and work with the community, we will have the flexibility to make changes as necessary to ensure that our goals are met without unduly burdening anyone. In my role as a policymaker, constructive criticism is welcome if it leads to better policy. But I reject the efforts by some in this debate to mischaracterize the law and to target and demonize classes of people like those exiting the criminal justice system who clearly deserve a second chance. During my service, we have made big investments in combating homelessness and increasing the supply of affordable housing. Since Commissioner Udaly joined this council, we have sharpened our focus on the rights of renters, building in protections for the 47% of people in our community who rent, many of whom who are rent burdened. Chloe, I deeply appreciate your leadership in this area. Finally, I want to thank my Jamie Dunphy, for all of his work in tracking this issue and briefing me and helping me to understand the dynamics of this debate. Jamie, you've been a great partner, and I've appreciated all the time and energy you've put into this. And today, I vote aye.
Udaly?
Colleagues and community members, I want to apologize in advance for what is very well my lengthiest closing remarks. But considering it took us 2 years to get to this point, I think I deserve a little extra airtime. We live in the wealthiest country in the world, yet we learned this week that there is not a state left in our union where a full-time worker earning federal minimum wage can afford a modest two-bedroom apartment. In Portland, where our minimum wage is significantly higher than the federal minimum, a full-time minimum wage worker cannot afford the average rent on a one-bedroom apartment. They can't afford the average rent on a studio apartment. And they cannot even afford the average rent for a room in a shared house. We are experiencing a national housing crisis driven by our federal government's divestment in affordable housing, by state and local governments who have failed to meet the growing need for affordable housing, to adequately regulate their rental markets, or to protect and stabilize tenants, by Wall Street, who is not only responsible for our housing crash, but has been snapping up thousands upon thousands of multifamily and single-family residents in our region while showing rampant disregard for the health, well-being, and very lives of the people who reside in them. And finally, by multiple industries, not the least of which is the landlord lobby, with a vested financial interest in extracting every penny from renters with no regard for the impact on their renters, our communities, or our local economy. We know that half of the renters in Portland are cost-burdened by housing expenses. We know that housing discrimination, both intentional and unintentional, is still prevalent. We know there is an overwhelming correlation between affordability and homelessness. The challenges and needs are overwhelming. We need 24,000 additional deeply affordable units just to house our extremely low-income residents. It's going to take many years, possibly decades, to fill that gap. But something we can achieve much more rapidly is protecting and stabilizing tenants and decreasing barriers to securing housing, which is critical to our overall housing strategy. This policy package is a significant contribution to that effort. I think I've talked enough about our housing crisis, our failures, and the devastating outcomes of this crisis over the course of the three public hearings this item has had. Today, I want to focus the rest of my remarks on the lessons I've learned while developing this policy with my team and our many community stakeholders. When we began the challenge of changing tenant protections in Portland, we knew we would face intense scrutiny and resistance. As mostly tenants ourselves in my office, we had our own experiences of obstacles and challenges that informed our perspectives and our priorities. But what we didn't fully realize and what we had to learn was that extrapolating from our own limited experience wasn't enough. It took some courageous partners to look us in the eye and tell us we were not centering the right people, those who faced the most disproportionate impacts of our housing policies. What we learned was that racism and discrimination are so deeply embedded in everything that we do that despite our best intentions, even our own policymaking processes were flawed, and without genuinely confronting that reality, we stood to perpetuate harm to many of the people we were setting out to serve. It's no secret that Portland has a long history of overtly racist housing laws, the effects of which still shape our city today. What we fail to acknowledge more readily is that many of our current laws continue to uphold discriminatory practices. While the language may be less explicit now, the effect is just as clear. We continue to see communities of color, and especially black residents, pushed to the margins of our city and beyond at an alarming rate. The heart of the fair access and renting policies is about addressing the criteria that continue to be used as a proxy for race, which includes criminal records, income requirements, and credit scores, which leads to discrimination and disparate outcomes. We would have never come to these policy solutions if we did not consider the unique experiences, needs, and barriers faced by black renters in Portland. The policies before us today would not have been as strong if they were not developed in partnership with our community allies. I believe as policymakers, we are most effective when we listen to and champion the solutions put forth by impacted communities. When we recognize individuals not just as stakeholders, but as the best experts on their own lives. We must take the time to develop authentic relationships, listen with an open mind and heart, and have the faith and courage to advance these community-developed solutions. Believe me when I tell you that we also turned to the industry experts. While we did receive input and support from some housing providers, what we received most of was opposition to any change at all. My staff spent untold hours with landlords, big and small, imploring them to provide some meaningful suggestions that would get us to the outcomes that we all agree on. What we heard from most landlords is that while everyone agrees that discrimination is wrong, no one wants to be compelled to do anything about it. We heard from small landlords that they're not professional enough to implement our policies, and from large landlords and property management companies that they are too professional. What substantive suggestions we did get from them that did not compromise the outcomes of increased access were incorporated into the final policy, including the two-track system that gives landlords a choice about how they screen applicants. I do not claim that the fair access and renting package solves all our problems, nor do I believe the communities themselves are happy and satisfied with everything in it. But together, we built the most comprehensive screening criteria reform policy in the country, and I am proud of how we did it and why. I want to thank everyone who worked with us to make this happen, because we worked with a lot of people, this is going to take a few more minutes. First, Fair Housing Council of Oregon, especially Yoni and Alan, you held our feet to the fire on fair housing guidance and got us to abandon a different version of the policy that went too far astray of what the federal government says is best practice. Because of that, our policy is defensible and its foundation is strong. Thank you. Community Alliance of Tenants, especially Katrina and Pam, you were the ones who first alerted us to the ways in which our policies could cause more harm than good if we didn't center the lived experiences of people of color first and foremost in the work we were doing. You were with us every step of the way to make sure we stayed focused on the most impacted communities, and you weren't afraid to push back when we didn't. Thank you. Urban League of Portland, who has turned out in force for every single one of these hearings. Everyone in red is with Urban League. Could we just give them a round of applause? Especially Hannah. Much like Kat, you were steadfast in your stance that this policy must make actual change for impacted communities. You openly refused to endorse until you were confident that they were strong enough to do good for Black communities. You pushed us continually to be brave and to imagine what was possible. Your official endorsement is one of our proudest achievements. Thank you. Oregon Law Center and Legal Aid Services of Oregon, especially Christina and Becky, your constant vigilance and your expertise pertaining to what tenants really face in the rental housing market was invaluable. You also steered us towards some of the most profound research available and guided us on what other cities and states are moving toward to make sure we're in alignment with recognized best practices. Thank you. One App Oregon, especially Tyrone, while we may still disagree about the potential outcomes of this policy, I know you worked very closely with my office on your own time and took some real risks with your business to help us get the data we needed to make sure we were moving in the right direction. Your platform gave us the informational foundation we needed to ensure we remained centered on the communities we intended to serve. Thank you, wherever you are today, Tyrone. Central City Concern, especially Mercedes, while you came a little later into the policy development, the work you did to support these changes, as well as the immense amount of experience and policy brilliance you brought to the table, was invaluable. We got over the finish line in no small part thanks to your efforts to build bridges where we still had chasms. Thank you. Dr. Lisa Bates. Without your expertise in data and housing research, we would have never been able to demonstrate the potential outcomes of increased housing access for the tenants we centered. We are forever grateful that you made time to work with us and use your award-winning skills to strengthen what the community has always known needed to happen to open doors for renters facing extraordinary barriers. Thank you. I would also like to thank the many people and organizations that spent untold hours with us developing this policy and pushed us to understand the broad complexities and its impacts on everyone in the system. So big thank yous to New Portlanders Policy Commission, Margot Black and the members of Portland Tenants United, Southeast Works, Northwest Pilot Project, Portland Commission on Disability, Home Forward, Human Solutions, REACH CDC, Transition Projects, PCRI, the Rental Services Commission, the Human Rights Commission, Southwest Corridor Tenant Leadership Group, the Fair Housing Commission, Pacific Screening, National Association of Professional Background Screeners, Cascade Property Management, ARC Transitions, ERCO, and Tim Pitts with Think Real Estate. I want to thank the people and organizations who gave testimony or sent in letters of support, including Unite Oregon, members of the Portland for Everyone Coalition, Coalition for Communities of Color, Portland African American Leadership Forum, Oregon Public Health Institute, JOIN, Cully Housing Action Team, Bridge Housing, Catholic Charities of Oregon, Rental Providers for Positive Change, Hacienda CDC, Housing Development Center, Madeline Kovacs, Rose CDC, and small landlords like Henry Kramer and others who stuck their neck out within their own industry to support tenants. I want to thank the external parties and elected officials that lent their endorsements of our work, including PolicyLink, Congressman Earl Blumenauer, County Chair Deborah Kafori, County Commissioners Jessica Vega Peterson, Sharon Mirren, and Sushila Jayapal, and Metro Councilors Bob Stacey, Sam Chase, and Shirley Craddock. I want to thank my colleagues for their time, their advice, their support, and right now their patience. On this complex issue, we ask them to face head on. I know it wasn't easy to absorb and understand what took us a couple of years to create. In particular, I want to thank Commissioner Hardesty and Commissioner Fish. I'm grateful for the trust they put in the community and in us. Thank you to the mayor for allowing Cupid Alexander and the Portland Housing Bureau to attend many development meetings and for lending input into the final drafts. I'm almost done, everyone, and I'm really not trying to be obnoxious. All of these individuals and organizations deserve to be recognized, and I think it's really important for the public to know the lengths we went to engage and to collaborate and to listen in the development of this policy. Finally, I want to thank my Director of Policy, Jamie Duhamel, for spending the better part of the last 2 years developing these policies and weaving her way through all the organizations, housing providers, advocates, and lawyers to arrive at where we are today. And to my entire team for fielding calls, directing traffic, pushing out our message, and for always upholding our values with everyone who engaged with our office. I'm proud of the policy our office helped create with the community, and I'm excited to see how it changes the way tenants access housing over time. We know it will take time for tenants to understand and for the industry to adjust. We know some fine-tuning will be necessary, but we also know that research and data have laid a solid foundation for the decisions we made. We know that doing nothing isn't working for people who have long been neglected by those of us who have the power to change it. Whatever challenges we may face, we can feel confident that in the end, we are doing the right thing for the right reasons. Jamie's making me say this. It's true. This is a moment I will cherish for the rest of my life. I vote aye.
Thank you. We love you.
Great.
Commissioner, that was a beautiful speech, and I hope you'll post it to your website. It was not a single word too long. It was really good. Thank you for explaining how you came about your decision and all the partnerships, and thank you to all the partners who are here today who have been part of making this this product. When I moved to the United States, I lived in a Salvation Army single-room occupancy residence for 2 months before subletting an attic room in an apartment close to the hospital where I trained. I was just thinking about that. I could only stand upright in the middle of the attic. So if I stoop, that's because I did that for quite some time. I lived below the poverty level for 7 years, moving apartments 4 times. I've also been a landlord when we rented out our first home in Portland after 5 years, for 5 years, between our family growing up too large for it and my parents in law retiring to it. So I have lived experience on both sides of this issue. First, thanks to all of my staff for their input and advice onto these issues. And thanks also, as was mentioned, to the Community Alliance of Talents and the Urban League in particular, to all the community members who advocated on all sides of this issue. This has been a solid discussion, and I have appreciated being part of it. I share Commissioner Udaly's commitment to seeking policy solutions intended to provide renters housing choice in a market that has priced people out, particularly African Americans and other communities of colors, and where discriminatory practices persist despite fair housing laws. When I first heard about this project, I was really excited because over and over we have had the audits showing that housing discrimination continues to happen, and I am hoping that this will change that. Thank you for the time you took on this proposal, on this process, Commissioner Udaly. I recognize the hours that you and your staff, especially Jamie Duhamel, have put into the development of the fair housing policy over the past couple of years, and I appreciate your responsiveness to a number of concerns from our colleagues on the council. I have read through countless emails in addition to hearing hours of testimony. Thank you to everyone who took the time to share your experiences, concerns, praises, expertise, and questions. There are elements in the fair housing policy that are great, such as improving the process for people experiencing disabilities and making sure that application fees are returned if not used in processing the application. I would support these changes by themselves. I can't support the screening criteria as a whole. One of the fundamental flaws of the ordinance is the 72-hour waiting period followed by first come, first served. I applaud the intent of this provision to allow people who need assistance time to gather application materials, including translation services, and to remove bias by the first-in approach. The problem is it doesn't remove bias, it increases it. Simply posting the vacancy, then requiring first-in, would be more equitable. Giving the notice allows people who can take time off work or family to camp outside, or who have 5G internet service, a head start. I'm also concerned about the added expense of requiring owners to invest in systems to allow the 72-hour wait, then track the orders received. I would not have been able to do that myself when I was renting out my first home. Back then, I was the ideal landlord according to this ordinance. I put a notice in the Oregonian and I accepted the first family that applied. I did a credit check, but I didn't know what the results meant. I didn't ask about criminal history. I didn't ask or verify the family's income because I figured it was their business whether they could afford the rent or not. As a result, 3 months later, they moved out, realizing that they couldn't afford the rent after all. It was all very amicable, but then I had to start over, and so did they. Many people can no longer afford rent in Portland. This policy not only doesn't solve for this problem, it may exacerbate it. One way is through loss of rental housing stock. Landlords are not just threatening to sell their rental properties because of this policy. They already have. I've heard from them. They've told me. They've told us all in emails. I've heard this directly from landlords as well as from realtors who cited the fair housing policy as a reason that an increasing number of landlords are coming to them to put their rentals on the market. Many of the single-family homes and duplexes will be purchased by new own occupants, losing units from the rental market. I've heard testimony from a developer who's put an affordable housing project on hold here in Portland and is planning instead to develop in Clackamas County. Here's what another one said. We have delayed starting three projects, one for 39 micro units, all inclusionary, another one for 48 low-income situations, and a third one on Northeast 102nd, close to Max and Good grocery stores in the Gateway Corridor, potentially bigger than the first two. We have asked for no subsidies, but Portland's deciders are making it too difficult for developers, owners, and managers. The word in investor meetings is that other cities are more attractive for investing. I think that's really sad because I think what we need, as well as fair housing and rental policies, is more supply. Another way the new rules will drive up housing costs is by more of the small owners who currently own 60% of Portland's rental users' units, changing from managing their own units to hiring property management companies and lawyers. A constituent informed me that already, over the past 4 years, over $6 billion in multifamily housing in Portland has been purchased by large corporations. Owners with a small number of units know their tenants by name and develop relationships with them. Multi-state corporations maximize profits for their investors. Perhaps the most troubling in this policy is the lack of an exception for people convicted of violent crimes, even rape and murder, in the low barrier screening process. On the day of release from prison, from a 7 or more year sentence, every landlord in Portland would be required to accept that application if they use the low barrier screen criteria. Will any landlords choose to use the low barrier process with that in mind? I'm concerned that the actions the city and state have taken collectively will have an adverse impact on the supply of affordable housing. I expect that those landlords who do choose to keep their rental properties will increase rents significantly on vacant units, pricing out those very people we are trying to help with our actions. What this means is the population we intend and need to support the most, communities of color and lower income renters, will not be better off as a result. I know that the Portland Housing Bureau is up to the task to lead implementation, and I want to acknowledge the amount of work that still lies ahead in developing the administrative rules, education, and ongoing monitoring of policy impacts. The Housing Bureau will need more staff to implement this policy. Thank you to Director Shannon Callahan and her team for taking this on, and Mayor Wheeler for being willing to do so also. Not all landlords are bad actors, and very few are sitting on bags of money, as Tyrone Poole of OneUp and others testified. Rather than pass a complex policy that is administratively burdensome and costly to catch a few problematic owners, I believe there are proven methods that we should have focused on, such as increased education and training for both landlord and tenant, and increased enforcement of existing fair housing laws. Of course, that's not mutually exclusive. I hope we do that anyway. In closing, I have to say I very much hope that I am wrong. This is one policy I would be more than happy to see work brilliantly and increase the supply of rental housing for those who need it the most. No.
Wheeler?
Well, I'd like to start off expressing my thanks to Commissioner Udaly, to Jamie, and to the entire Udaly team. There's probably been no one more frustrating to work with on this policy than myself. And I want to acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge the hard work that Commissioner Udaly has done in the community. And I also want to acknowledge that the policies that we're voting on today have gone through literally dozens of drafts. And I want to thank you, Commissioner Udaly. Many of those revisions came at the request of the Housing Bureau, of which I'm the commissioner in charge. Many of those came at the request of my team. And I'm grateful to you for thoughtfully considering those revisions. I also want to thank my colleagues for agreeing to several amendments that I put on the table 2 weeks ago that addressed a number of my specific concerns. I also want to note that many of the concerns that were originally stated to me by landlords early in this process, i.e. many drafts ago, many of those concerns have already been addressed through revisions and through amendments. I want to be very clear that there's no question in my mind that these policies are rooted in important values and they're based on real issues that exist in this community. In particular, there is still far too much discrimination in access to rental units for people of color, for people of lower income, and for people who experience disabilities in our community. That is not to say that all landlords are bad actors. I personally believe the vast majority of landlords are playing by the rules. They're already playing by many of the rules that are established in these policies. And we heard what I thought was very valuable testimony from them. We also heard heartrending testimony from people about the very real need for change in this community. The coalition supporting these proposals is large and diverse, as Commissioner Udaly pointed out. And the values underlying these proposals, the screening proposal in particular, are vital to the community. That said, I want to offer a reality check. The work is most certainly not done with the passage of these ordinances. We can't ignore that the reality is that we have much work to do in the months ahead. We have to align our values with sound policy and measurable deliverables that are associated with these policies. As Housing Commissioner, it's of particular importance to me that we be able to measure who is being helped by these policies and to what degree. Much of the actual implementation of this policy is going to be left to rulemaking by the Portland Housing Bureau. And as the Housing Commissioner, I look forward to working with my colleagues, and I look forward to working with the coalition that helped to shape these policies to ensure that they're implemented as successfully as possible. It's my goal to have an intentional effort to center the affected communities and to make policy changes and suggestions in hopes of clarifying how these proposals can best help the community. I also want you to know that I've weighed out the requested changes to determine how our housing operators, owners, and management companies would implement these policies. And I've asked hard questions of Commissioner Udaly and her team about potential unintended consequences from this policy that would contribute to our city's biggest housing issue, which is the availability of affordable housing supply. We also have to acknowledge that as of this moment, there is no ongoing budget associated with the implementation of these policies. The council is going to have to engage in some very difficult conversations going forward about funding priorities, and I want to again state my belief, in fact, I'll just say this as a fact, I will not support the funding of these proposals coming at the expense either of the public safety or from affordable housing production. So we will have to find alternative means to fund these proposals. There are, of course, also legal, administrative, and cost uncertainties that will have to be ironed out in the months ahead. Commissioner Fish offered an amendment, which I supported, which will give us the opportunity to periodically assess the results of this program, to monitor access, to monitor administrative burdens and costs, and the impact on the housing market, if any, and to make any adjustments to the policy as necessary. For my team, I want to thank Cupid Alexander, who has spent 2 years working on this proposal and in advising me and helping me to frame questions and to seek answers to those questions. I want to thank the Housing Bureau Director Shannon Callahan for doing likewise, but I want to end where I started, which is with Commissioner Udaly. It is my belief that you could have passed this proposal some time ago without the revisions that I request requested and without any of the amendments that I proposed. I appreciate the fact that you slowed down to give me the time to process how these potential policies could impact the affordable housing market in our community, and I appreciate your graciousness in accepting both the revisions that were proposed as well as supporting many of the amendments that I put on the table. That is what I would describe as the spirit of collaboration. We talked about it earlier this morning, that nobody gets everything they want, but at the end of the day, a five-person council is based on pragmatic compromise, with all of us hoping to move the interests of the community to the forefront. And I believe every member of this council has worked hard to find that space. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Please call the roll on 614.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
So this is the security deposit
That's correct.
Regulations.
That is correct.
And it's really unfortunate this measure has received far less public input than the screening criteria. It's been said that the two work together, but regrettably, I believe the two together compound the problems for both owners and renters. The security deposit rules also add huge administrative burdens for both owners and renters. A reputable affordable housing provider told me there are multiple issues concerning the practical application of this policy. For instance, there's lack of clarity on who bears the burden of repair costs. Given the amount of paperwork required, even well-intended landlords may miss things and be subject to steep penalties. As I can attest, the cost of repairs often far exceeds the security deposit, as was the case when we were renting out my ex-home. What happens if an owner bought a home that was not new construction and or just recently acquired it? How do they then provide prove the original cost and depreciation of items they didn't buy? Like the screening criteria policy, I wonder whether the proposed solution is in proportion to the scale of the problem. And so again, I hope I'm wrong. I vote no.
Wheeler.
So I almost hope to never see another depreciation schedule for the rest of my life, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Commissioner Udaly. I want to thank you for working with CUPE and working with other members of my team in the Housing Bureau to refine this policy. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.